Welcome to the Quits and Giggles podcast, the show that empowers you to quit your 9-to-5 and work for yourself. I'm your host, Lauren Leopold, and I'm here sharing actionable insights on how to start and grow a service-based side hustle and take it full-time. You'll also hear the stories of badass women who've gone from employee to entrepreneur, as well as interviews with incredible guest experts giving you their top tips on making the leap. So plug in and get ready to get inspired. And if you like what you hear, I'd love it if you could give me a 5-star rating and hit that subscribe button so you get notified as each new show drops. Let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome to the Quits and Giggles podcast, the show that empowers you to quit your 9-to-5 and work for yourself. Today, I'm talking to my brilliant client, Helen Patrick. Now, Helen is a little bit different from my usual side hustle clients because she was already working in the charity sector when she decided to start working with me to start her not-for-profit consultancy business. Now, after joining her first not-for-profit in 2008, Helen worked in fundraising, she worked in grant making, she even studied public policy in New York, and she helped to start a startup charity during the pandemic. But over time, she ultimately decided that she wanted more control over designing her career and to also direct her energy and experience towards the causes that she really cared about. So she went back to the drawing board, and that's where I came in. Now, her business journey has been challenging, it's been confronting, and it's even brought her back to London via a very well-known TV quiz show. And I cannot wait to share her story with you today. Helen, hello and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. Very exciting. Very showbiz.
Very excited to have you here. Very showbiz, I know. And obviously you've been coaching with me for a while now and it feels like we've been talking about this forever. So I'm so excited to have you here and to tell your really unique story as I was just talking about in the introduction there. So take us back to the beginning. Tell us more about what was going on for you and what made you want to start this business.
It's like lots of things in life, isn't it? I think there wasn't sort of one key defining moment, but kind of looking back, there were a few little things. Like I remember my first ever job, what somebody in my team saying, you should have your own business one day. I'm not sure if it was a compliment, but it definitely kind of popped back in my mind later on. I remember when I was doing my master's, we were doing like career sessions, and the person I think I found amongst the most impressive of anybody that I met in that whole period of my life was a woman who was working with nonprofits on her own. She dressed so well. She was like so cool and so stylish and so gorgeous and had a lovely family, chose the work that she did, just was really, you know, winning at life, just kicking absolute butt like all the time. And I was just like, I want to be you when I grow up. And then I went out on my own a few years ago and I was living in Dorset, had a couple of nice bits of client work. I helped my friend start his charity, did loads of projects for him over for a couple of years. And there was lots that I loved about it. But I just kind of felt like I was treading water a little bit. I felt like I wanted to kind of go away and learn and really work with lots and lots and lots of organizations and get stuck into more issues, I guess. And, you know, a little bit like to be the best version of myself. And alongside that, I applied to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And I was really fortunate that a girl at my undergrad, or a woman at my undergrad, had done it before and just showed me it was a thing that people did. And so I remember kind of signing up on a bit of a whim and then kind of hitting the button on another whim, and then just started getting these calls from researchers, and it started to kind of snowball a little bit until suddenly I'm standing in a TV studio like, oh my goodness, what has happened? And I think if I had to kind of choose one of those moments in life to say, right, that was it, it was like rocking up to do something, having absolutely no idea how it would go, whether I could do it, whether I was going to make a complete tit of myself on national television. And then it going actually really well and changing my whole life in a couple of days. And then that sort of 6 months between filming it, it being on telly, actually getting the prize in the bank was so surreal. Not being able to tell anybody anything, having that complete, like, that secrecy. But it was also like a kind of stillness. And I remember just really kind of reflecting and thinking, right, what am I going to do? Am I going to consolidate things down in Dorset? Am I going to try and buy a flat or a house? Am I going to try and kind of create a job for myself with this organization I was doing projects for, or am I going to go out and get another job? And I chose. So I moved up to London. I engaged a coach. I started kind of doing a different, more purposeful, kind of more varied version of the kind of work that I've been doing and really kind of built on everything that I'd learned. And yeah, it was in a much more kind of conscious way, I think, than I had before, and stopped expecting customers to just like walk up with a minibus to the clients to just arrive at my door and take me there kind of thing.
Oh, we all think that's going to happen. We are all the naivety when we all start, right? And then we realize that just isn't the case. Yeah, thank you for telling us all that. And like I said, it's not your usual kind of side hustle story where like someone was really miserable in their corporate job and they, you know, they just wanted, you know, that life of freedom and flexibility. Like you were enjoying what you were doing, but there was just a yearning for something more purposeful. Because I mean, what you're doing is pretty purposeful anyway, right? Mm. But just something that you could own and that was yours, I guess.
100%. It was about that self-belief as well, about like not kind of playing safe and playing small, really. That's really what I was needing.
Yeah. So tell us, obviously we started working together. We can talk about that in a little bit later on. Talk about, you know, getting the first paying clients, because that is always the big defining moment, isn't it? When people start their business. So what was that experience like?
So my first client in this kind of iteration of the business, if you like, was a family friend. And I'd met her many years ago when I was working at a foundation. And I would go and see her and chat to her about some of the issues that she was facing around kind of funding, around structural things, some governance things. And I just wanted to be able to do more when I was in my job and my hands were a bit tied. So I rock up to her headquarters in Tower Hamlets. And we sat down, and within a few minutes, she said the magic words of, "We've got some budget." And it was great. It was really lovely for her to have had that faith in me. It was really powerful. It was a really great moment. And I think because it was the culmination of several years of conversation as well, it was really... yeah, it really meant a lot to me that she decided that we were going to, you know, properly work together. It was great.
I love that, because again, you are busting this myth that a lot of people have that are like, "Oh my God, my first paying client's got to be a stranger or they don't count." Like, right. It's like this thing, and I hear it time and time again, like, "Oh yeah, well, I've worked with this person and they paid me money, but I already knew them, so they don't count." And I'm like, in what world do they not count? They count, like, my God. So I love that. And it just shows that, you know, you, all those years of you building up that network were, you know, kind of leading to this moment, right? So let's talk about, you know, what made you decide to start coaching with me and just generally feeling that you needed a coach.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to that idea of the self-belief in a lot of senses, and that aspect that was kind of lacking. And I mean, we've been friends a long time, and I'd seen your journey sort of from corporate marketeer to business owner, and like your honesty and your kind of vulnerability and how you've talked about that. I was like, I can be honest and vulnerable with Lauren. I can do that. This is going to be a fit. This is going to work. And as well, the sort of second aspect of it was, you know, the selling, the business development, the marketing, the comms around it. That was the bit that I was kind of the most frightened of. It was the bit that I had been the least good at or the least successful at in the previous iteration of the business. And I, the fact that I was going to be getting a twofer was just like, just so brilliant. Like the traditional coaching aspect, the fact that you'd done it already, in fact a threefer, right? So the traditional coaching aspect, the fact that you'd literally been through that process that you were going to take me through, and then the fact that I could ask you any question about marketing or business development or any of that, and you would have, you know, a very robust answer or strong ideas, or you would just be able to be kind of like a partner for me in that. And that was really, like, really attractive. And then also, because we knew each other, I knew I could trust you to give me an ass kicking when I needed it as well. you know, the love and the tough love, because I know that I need it. Because I know when I'm kidding myself on. Like, I know when I'm, like, making excuses for stuff. And it's that kind of gently confronting it. And it's, but also, there have been times where I haven't even realized I've been getting in my own way. I haven't even realized that I've got like an assumption that I've made that's limiting somehow, or yeah, I'm just not giving myself enough credit. And you're always there for that as well, which I really appreciate.
Oh, thank you. And I think it's really important to say that, because I think a lot of people, they don't really understand what coaching is a lot of the time. And yes, it is about, you know, helping you get to a certain point and showing you the way and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of the time it's like holding that mirror up against someone and just calling out people's bullshit, because, and not in a bad way, but all because we get so we tell ourselves these bullshit stories and they become the truth. And it takes someone else to go, who says, or what evidence have you got for that? And you're like, oh shit, nothing. And the reason I say that is because that's what my coach does with me. So, you know, it's just this, I'm so glad you said that because this is what makes coaching so powerful. So,
hello, quick little interruption here, because for those of you who are listening and you're like, oh my God, this is so good, and you are ready to go all in and get that business going, here is how you can work with me. So for all my gorgeous business newbie girls out there who are ready to start feeling like a legit business owner because you've bagged your first paying clients, then you need Side Hustle Without Social in your life. It is the only 4-month program that teaches brand new service-based entrepreneurs, so that could be coaches, interior designers, consultants, VAs, etc., to land their first paying clients without selling their soul to social media. So maybe you've either just worked with people for free so far, or you've had some people pay you, but they feel like a bit of a fluke, right? But either way, you want to stop fannying around and get serious about your business, because you know, it is the key to your freedom, right? My Side Hustle Without Social program is for you. Now, I do 2 enrollments a month and the spots have nearly already gone for this month. So you need to hurry up and get your tush signed up. So you want to go into the show notes, click on the link if you want a piece of the action. Okay, we're going to get back to the episode now.
Let's go back then. So you got this first paying client. You made that sound very easy. So tell me more about that. You must have struggled with some things along the way. Tell us about the struggles, the challenges, the mistakes that you might have made.
Oh, so many. I mean, so client number one happened sort of within a couple of weeks of moving to London, and we did have quite a lot of work I wanted to do with them. But client number two took a long time, and I was fortunate that there was some work that came up from a previous project that I was able to do to kind of, you know, keep going. But I got real stage fright before a lot of calls. And there were a number of things that kept happening. So I didn't know how kind of bold to be. I'm not really kind of a natural fake it till you make it sort of person. And I remember my second like kind of market research meeting that I had, first or second. And I promised all these like great, really strategic introductions. And the first guy, like the most important person on that list, I didn't realize had, since I'd seen him, retired to Scotland. And the person who had taken over his position was really bad at replying to things. I've heard second, third hand. So it was just like, there's absolutely no value in me trying to introduce you. You should go back and do this. But it was so embarrassing because I had like named this person. It was a really good fit for the organization to kind of collaborate or at least have a conversation. You know, I wasn't wrong. I just couldn't do what I said I was going to do. And I was so embarrassed. I'm still so embarrassed. I feel like thinking about it, absolutely mortifying. And yeah, not knowing how bold to be. And then the rest of the time kind of overcorrecting, getting in my own way, you know, worrying about a lot of that. And as I say, getting some sort of stage fright with calls, like thinking, gosh, what on earth do I have to offer this person? And it's like, well, they said they're going to speak to you and they're going to be on in 5 minutes. So this isn't really that helpful.
Isn't it funny though, how, you know, we can be like on paper, people are listening to this going, my God, she knows what she's talking about. She's been in the industry for all these years and da 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 da. She sounds like she knows what she's talking. She's just, you know, won loads of money on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. She's really clever. And then you're sitting here going, and then every call, I would absolutely brick it beforehand. And it's so important that we are honest about that stuff, like sitting there going, who the hell am I to be advising this person? Conveniently forgetting that you've got all these years of experience. And this is what I used to say to you. I was like, hello. But all of that just goes out the window, doesn't it? When we are kind of pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone and trying to, you know, win clients, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I would overcompensate by like, I remember you being really mad at me once in particular, where I'd said I would do all this like follow-up kind of recommendations. And the person never, ever even like acknowledged receipt or said thank you. And so in that respect, it was a really good lesson. I'm all about putting good, you know, trying to put good things out in the universe. So, you know, that's, so I don't want to begrudge the fact that I've done this thing and it didn't get the outcome that I wanted. Because you just keep going, right? And it's, you know, it's work that I've done that I can sort of adapt or reuse or whatever. But there was a bit where I just felt like everything was kind of a knock, and it's really tough at those kind of times. So I think that was about the time that we moved from sort of our one-on-one coaching to the group coaching, and then there was stuff happening outside of work that was a real worry and a real challenge. And it was all kind of happening at once. And now, looking back, it's incredible. I was finding the group aspect really difficult. I was finding it really difficult and challenging to kind of report wins when I didn't feel like I had any. And yeah, I was on the group coaching with other coaches who were very practiced in it and just like very, very good at looking and identifying wins, even if they didn't feel great about it. And it's really interesting how that group has evolved, how we've become much more vulnerable with one another, which has really helped me not to be a sad sack about things. But it was actually getting me down to try and perform this positivity all the time, when actually, as it turned out, everybody was feeling just as vulnerable as I was feeling, and just as impressed with the rest of the group as I was feeling. And so that's a really kind of valuable journey we've gone on together. Yeah, it's like kind of creating a team around yourself and like kind of building your village, if you like, because it can be very, very lonely trying to do all this on your own.
Yeah, and that's why I love running these groups, because I think we have this idealized view of like, oh my God, I'm going to run my business. It's going to be fucking fantastic. And then you start doing it and you're like, holy shit. Like, no one around me is running their own business. And even if they were, I have this facade. I need to pretend that everything's okay to my friends and family because I've made this crazy decision to do it. Whereas actually, if you can find a tribe, if you can find your business besties, if you can find that group who are going through the same thing you are, and you can push yourself to be vulnerable, it's just so refreshing, because all of a sudden you've got everyone around you going, yeah, I feel exactly the same. You're like, oh, thank God, it's not just me, you know? And it makes you stop catastrophizing. It makes you kind of get a bit more realistic and go like, okay, well, this is just part of being an entrepreneur. The world isn't ending and I'm sure it will get better. And also to get inspired by other people. I know that we had a conversation at one point about the group and I was like, how about you flip it and look at these women, and instead of using their success to like bash yourself over the head with it, get inspired by them. And it was like overnight, you were like, oh my God, yeah. And then you've been thriving in the group ever since, you know, because it is that comparisonitis is really, really hard. Talk to us a little bit more about your consultancy. Talk to us, you know, like what's going on for you now with it? What does the future hold for it?
Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. I definitely want it to grow and get some more, scale. And I've just signed a client in the last few weeks that is part of a massive network. So what we'll do could potentially be replicable, and certainly replicable beyond anything I've got capacity for. There's a lot more work than I'd be able to do on my own, which is exciting as well, because that would mean sort of collaborating with people as well and you know, doing lots of different types of things. So I'm really excited about that. One of the challenges that I've had is around kind of communicating, you know, what is it that you actually do? So even like friends are just like, so Helen, you work with charities, but what is it you actually do with them? And the answer is, it depends. But trying to kind of get a stronger version of it depends, which is literally like, well, we'll go through a process together and then we'll design something bespoke for you based on, you know, where you are now, where you want to go and what's getting in the way. And what resources do you actually have? I mean, it's a funny thing, actually kind of, and I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs will find this as well, particularly if they've found the problem that they want to solve. But actually, there's lots of different ways you could do it. There's lots of people who maybe have that problem. And it's a bit like we were talking about earlier today, you know, actually kind of aiming towards a niche isn't saying no to things. It's focusing on something. And I think I've struggled with that as kind of a generalist. And again, so even talking about it now, I feel like I sound really unfocused. I just get excited by a lot of stuff. I get excited by a lot of, you know, there's amazing people in the sector that I work in, and they're doing incredible things, you know, to help and support people, and, you know, helping them work towards meeting their own potential so that others can as well is just like, I just love it. Yeah.
And I'm really glad you said that though, because I think, again, there's this myth that, you know, we can't start our business until we have our niche figured out. And you are a great example of someone who's got a niche and you're kind of figuring it out, but you're still not quite sure if it's the right thing. And you are just taking a punt, doing the work and almost going through like a process of elimination. Like, oh, I really like working with that person on that thing. So that's cool. That bit didn't light me up. So I'm getting closer. And I think it's absolutely fine. I don't think this whole nailing your niche thing is just such bullshit. Like every business owner I know has gone through iterations and iterations and iterations of their niche and their eye health statement, right? Mm. So that I'm glad you said that, because my message always is to people, just take an inkling of a niche and go with it and see where it takes you. And that's exactly what you've done.
Yeah. And I think the another period of kind of review with all of that at the moment, which is exciting. And I'm enjoying that as well. And it's just, yeah, just get it out there. I mean, aspects like your Outreach Onion. I mean, it's all about, one of the charities I worked with a long time ago was a big advocate of the strengths-based approach. And it's basically looking around you, like, what is it I already know how to do? Who is it I already know? Who can help me? What does that look like? And start as close to yourself as you can and then work outwards. And again, that's applicable in so many different areas. But I think when we kind of rock up to start a business, we're just a bit like, oh gosh, it must be much more complicated than that. And it isn't, but you have to do it.
On that note, as you started to go into like tips and things, what are the three tips that you would give to other people who are in the same boat as you once were?
Well, I've hinted at some of them already, and I wrote them down because I knew I'd forget. So yeah, I mean, surround yourself with positive people, build your village, build your tribe, but have your responses so that ready, so that you're kind of like Teflon, right? You're just insulated from anybody's own doubts or fears or lack of understanding or whatever. That would be like, of course, that's kind of two. So I've actually got tons. Be ready for how the experience will change you and embrace it. Like, stay true to yourself, but you're going to grow an enormous amount. And you're going to find that actually more of the people that were in your life before are not the sort of people who necessarily understand. They might have their own growth journeys that they're going to go on at some point. But yeah, that kind of like, it is going to change you. Like, it's just a fact. And I would say overwhelmingly, those changes have been positive for me, but it doesn't mean you don't kind of experience it and notice it as it's happening. And then don't play small. I've definitely made the mistake early on of kind of, for example, starting out on only an operational basis, only with small charities, when actually there's a reason people weren't at the start finding that super like attractive and compelling as kind of an offer. Yeah, so definitely being more ambitious with what I'm looking at is my next thing. And then, oh yeah, my bonus tip four, but it's actually kind of tip 12 because I think there were sub tips in all of those, was to really be wary of the kind of snake oil sales folk on the internet. Like, what we've done together, not only was it like tried and tested by you, it was very much like real fundamentals of business. Like I say, like, not overcomplicating stuff, but just giving you steps to go through and actually do them. Whereas I think there's a lot out there that looks too good to be true, and it probably is. And, you know, if you are a one-man band, anything that's going to take an awful lot of work and then you need an awful lot of volume in terms of sales, that's going to be super hard to like actually do.
Yeah, there's so much shit, and I'll just say it, out on the internet, on social media, and it really winds me up, and I talk about this a lot, but how they're like, you know, make 10K, you know, get to 10K months in 6 months, and, you know, make money while you sleep with passive income. Like, first, you know, it's not realistic to say that somebody who's brand new in business is going to get to 10K months in 6 months. Some people might, great, but what they're probably not telling you is that they didn't sleep for those first 6 months, or they had a really lucky break. But also this whole passive income thing, or do a course and get 1,000 people on it, or do a membership and get 1,000 people. Do you know the amount of work that needs to go into creating that membership, promoting that membership, and all that kind of stuff? It is not passive. None of it is passive, no. Especially if you're brand new in business and you've got no audience. And also, you know, because if you haven't got an audience, how are you going to sell a £29 course? You're going to need like thousands of people to send that to sell that to in order to make any decent money. So like, it's just such bullshit, you know, make money while you sleep. It just, anyway, that's my rant over. But yes, I totally get your point. It's just like, if something is too good to be true, don't believe it. And actually, you know, to get to where you want to be usually takes, it's slower and it takes hard work, but you know, you're living proof that it's totally possible. Thank you so much, Helen. I love telling your story because, as I say, it's not your typical, you know, side hustle story, but it just shows that you can, you know, even if you are in a in a job or an industry where you kind of like it, you can always get more passion, always get more purpose and create something that gives you the life that you want. So I commend you and take all my hats off to you. And thank you for telling your story today.
Great stuff. Thank you.
So that's all I've got for you today. As always, thank you for listening. And don't forget to drop me a review and rating and to hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. And you can head over to Instagram at Lauren Leopold, the coach, for daily content on how to start and build that side business and quit your 9-to-5. I'll see you next time.